Now, this is an odds-on favorite at FanDuel, but we will, you know, you could shop around. I think this team is mispriced. UConn, back to its old ways. One of the worst cover teams in conference play in the country. The market has been too high on them all season long. At FanDuel right now, they're minus 115 to win the Big East. Now, part of that is, I just don't know if there's that many good teams in the Big East. So the likelihood it's going to fall down to the three teams at the top. UConn, St. John's, Villanova. Mercury reflects that minus 115, plus 190, and 7-1 respectively for UConn, St. John's, and Villanova.
This is Pod to the Futures with Mitch Moss and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, welcome in. It is a weekly edition, as usual, of Pod to the Futures. Jonathan Von Tobel, Mitch Moss here with you on what is a championship week Monday. Conference tournaments are all underway starting this week. We are very, actually, no, we're here. Like, this is the madness. This is when March Madness begins. Next week, we'll be gearing up for the NCAA tournament. The Selection Sunday show coming up, of course. By the way, if you are a VSiN listener, guess what? Watcher, viewer, whatever it is, Tim Murray and I will be manning the desk as we will be there for Selection Sunday. So very much looking forward to that. And we'll have the Vegas Stats and Information Network's first look at the brackets and the lines for the NCAA tournament coming up on next week. Mitch, what's going on, buddy?
You know what I like about that so much? And it goes all the way back to like day one of VSiN. I love getting the instant reaction once the brackets come out and the matchups are there, and just like immediate thoughts from you and Tim and the guests that you're going to have on, and what the number you think the number might be, and then the number pops and you have a quick opinion like that. That to me is one of the best days of the entire year for that.
Yeah, I think I've done this now. This is like a third or fourth straight year that I've been part of our Selection Sunday coverage. So, yeah, I really do like doing it. You just sit there with your app open, and that's the other part about it. You just start firing away on lines and, you know, seeing if you can grab some CLV, get things like that. So those are always a ton of fun. If I remember correctly, like, and this is why I think it helps to actually pay attention, not even just to us, but just the day that those lines are out and set. I believe it was UC San Diego and Michigan last year. You could have gotten 3.5 right at the gun. And then immediately, you know what I mean? It moves and it depends on what you got it, but they ended up covering. So, and I thought you were going to go this direction. For those who don't remember, in the early days of VSiN, one of our beginning partnerships with Derek Stevens was that, remember, he would come in and he would bet every single first round game at the South Point.
And I think I have the number right. Was it not 10,000 every game?
It was something I was trying, you know what? I have to Google the, I was trying to Google the article because it's somewhere up there, but it's something like that. Yeah. Every first round game.
Yep. Just like that. He would look over. I think he came over with, somebody he trusts, obviously. I don't remember who that person was, but they would like look at each other, talk about it for a couple of seconds, be like, okay, my 10,000 is going to go on this side. And it was great. Every single game was really cool.
So he bet a total of $352,000, $11,000 to win $10,000 on each of the first 32 games.
Pretty good stuff.
That was fun, man. Those were good times. All right, let's dive into it. So let's, before we get to obviously March Madness stuff and NCAA tournament stuff, we do have these conference tournaments underway. You and I both have a couple of conference tournament bets. And by the way, we appreciate all the feedback. We will start to, at the end of these shows, recap things. That's on me as a host. Sometimes we get up against it and then, of course, got to get out. So I do want to make sure that we recap everything that we're talking about. So let's talk about some conference tournaments, and I'm going to start with a conference tournament near and dear to my heart because I like to handicap the league, and I will be out there all 4 days of the tournament this coming week. And I know you've got something here, so I'm going to be interested to hear your thoughts on the Mountain West Conference tournament coming up this week. I think maybe this plays into part of your logic with who you bet here. Anybody can win this thing through like the fifth, sixth seed. There's a lot of teams that I think that I would not be surprised if they went on to win the auto bid for the Mountain West. Utah State, the favorite, at plus 230. San Diego State at plus 320. These are all numbers courtesy of DraftKings. Grand Canyon, plus 475. Boise, plus 550. New Mexico, plus 650. Nevada, 18-1. Colorado State, 25-1. UNLV now 45-1 at DraftKings, and I will draw the line there. Do you think I should go any further? The last four, Wyoming, Fresno State, San Jose State, and Air Force.
No, I don't think so. But I think this is certainly one of the conferences that I was thinking about where once the odds were going to come out, I want nothing to do with the teams near the top.
Sure.
I mean, this is maybe, I don't know where you would put like Utah State compared to like other number one seeds in comparable conferences, but they're gettable. I mean, very gettable. And I don't trust them at all based on, you know, a couple of things. One would be the matchups against UNLV so far this year, where they got absolutely destroyed the second time around when they were 8-point favorites here in Las Vegas, and they lost by 27. So if UNLV beats Wyoming, they'll get Utah State, and they swept them. They went to their place the first time around as 16-point dogs, and they won that game outright. So their path would be Wyoming, Utah State, and then like probably Grand Canyon, Nevada to get to the title game. And at 50-1, I thought that number was absolutely worth taking a flyer on. The other team, I think, is a team that you have a bet on. I tried to get down at 25-1 today. I'm not going to name names. Maybe we'll get to that point someday where we feel comfortable just blasting sports books by name when they do this.
Yeah.
They offered me $20 on Colorado State to win the Mountain West. So I said, screw you. I'll see what I can find elsewhere. And I haven't noticed if any other 25-1s out there or not, but I would take them at 25-1. You?
Yeah, I did put a. I have some on 25-1 in Colorado State. Will Hill and I both sharing our thoughts there. We were talking about that last week on his podcast. Should have bet more, but I like this Colorado State team a ton. Yes, they go out, they lose as a short favorite to Boise State over the weekend. I thought they were going to kind of go in as a red hot team, but this group has been absolutely fantastic. If you look at their offense over the last 10 games, they're 45th in the country in offensive efficiency. They're shooting the ball extremely well, 37% from beyond the arc, 63% inside on two-point attempts. And the thing that I keep going back to with Colorado State are a few things. First off, Ali Farokmanesh was part of the player development staff for Colorado State under Nico Medved. So I think that matters that this team is getting better. It's part of his job. It's player development. It's what Colorado State's done the last few years. They have been a team that has ended seasons very strongly. He clearly has some of the offensive flow from Medved's system coming in here. They have been absolutely fantastic. For those who don't know off the top of their head, they had lost to Wyoming. It was the third consecutive loss on January 31st. From there, they ripped off 8 straight wins before they lost that game to Boise State over the weekend at home. I'm all in on what this team is. And then the other side, like the side that they're on, I think we can draw a line through Fresno State. I don't know. I don't really trust that team. I think they're very poor. San Diego State has lost to all of these teams, including Colorado State. And then you get the winner out of the trio of New Mexico, Boise State, San Jose State, obviously the likely candidates being New Mexico and Boise State. I wouldn't really be surprised if Colorado State makes this run. So I did bet them at 25-1. And the other team that I brought up to Stormy today that maybe you have a thought on, maybe you don't, but if you wanted to add this, this is not a bet that I have, but I could definitely paint the picture for Nevada at 18-1. I think if you look at the way the bracket breaks down for the Wolfpack, first off, they get Air Force, which that is a win. Air Force is awful. They will
win
that
game.
It's a
win, absolutely. Yes. Yep.
Then they get Grand Canyon, who they did beat in the regular season. It took some end of regulation shenanigans, but they still beat Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon can't shoot at all. They're really relying on the rebounding. Nevada can win that matchup, and then you get whoever comes out of Utah State, UNLV, Wyoming. I would not be shocked if we're watching Nevada take on any one of those three teams in the semifinals on Friday. At 18-1, if you didn't really have anything, I would not say no to Nevada at that price or better.
Yeah, no, I kind of expect dogs to be barking in the Mountain West Conference, and yes. I would be a little bit surprised if that turns out to be one of the chalky tournaments that we get. And on the UNLV thing, again, for a second here, so when you look overall at, there are so many numbers to look at and you know, split apart and see what you come up with. In the net rankings, they are number 111. So they are 4-4 overall in quad one games this year. I'm looking at teams that they're surrounded by at that number of 111 in the country. They, like, you're talking about teams that have either zero or one win. There are a couple of teams with two wins against quad one. I have to go all the way up to number 74, Minnesota. They were 3-11 in quad one games. Arizona State is 67th. They are 4-11 in quad one games. And again, UNLV is number 111 overall. That tells me a couple of things here. That 50-1, I think, is a good, DraftKings, by the way, had 75-1 on UNLV.
Oh, yeah. It's down to 45-1. So that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Must have gotten some action.
Obviously, we don't have that in the state of Nevada. Can't get down there. Got to make a drive or call somebody. But based on that, that tells me that they're going to either make a deep run and be dangerous here, or that they could never really put it together to have a really great regular season. And they're kind of like a volatile roller coaster, if you will, right? They're both of those words, because they can, I think, either win this whole thing or they might get bounced exceedingly early. 50-1, I took a gamble on them.
Yeah, they are. It's absolutely nuts how all over the place they are at this point right now. But best three-point shooting team in the conference. They've been absolutely unreal in conference play. Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn has been absolutely fantastic. Kamani Hamilton has been insane. So I would expect that they're going to give you both of those. By the way, they those wings that they have, that's the problem. Utah State has no answer for the wing talent that they have at all. And that's it's just such a good matchup for them. And I would really it'd be a really interesting matchup if they were to get Grand Canyon, who they've beaten as well, or a rematch against Nevada, who came out here the about a week or so ago and lost that matchup. So we'll recap all of these. But again, it seems like a fun tournament. I want to go here. There's a couple of different options I want to go to. First off, I like this you had in the rundown. So we have a couple of tournaments where we have some odds on favorites, obviously, and for good reason. Duke is a heavy favorite in the ACC at minus 350, and everybody's darling Florida minus 180 to win the SEC tournament. How are you choosing to attack some of these tournaments with odds on, with odds on favorites?
Yeah. So before I did any of this stuff, I wanted to compare prices from book to book. And at a lot of the national books, this goes back to, you know, Sunday afternoon into Sunday night. We're recording this on Monday night now. Some of these games going on. I saw like minus 330 on Duke at a bunch of books. And then I opened up the Circa app and they had higher than $5. I'm like, I knew because Mike Palm told us that the Circa odds makers have a higher power rating on this year's Duke team than they did on last year's Duke team. So they're very strong on that team. Now, that number has come down at last check a little bit. It was like minus 475 before we started our show today. And the other one was Florida, and most books had $1.60 to $1.80 from what I noticed. Circa had minus 225, and Circa is a very sharp book, obviously, compared to some of the national books. I'm like, okay, I respect their numbers, and I wanted to attack those two teams anyway. So after seeing that, gave me a little bit even more faith that, okay, those are the right teams, obviously. And I think Duke and Florida, if they're on opposite sides of the bracket, they're going to play for the national title. So I got minus 103 on a parlay for those two teams. And you can find a little bit better than that. Again, it's around even money. That was at DraftKings. FanDuel had like plus 102. But I was very happy to get anything close to even money on Duke and Florida to win.
I'm with you. I'm going to tell you on this, actually, because I really like this a lot. I was kind of toying with how to attack these. And I mean, I'm not saying anything crazy when I say, like, I'm in on this Duke team. I mean, they answer every call. They're absolutely unreal. They're the best team in the ACC with no question. And Florida, I mean, they barely covered, but I was actually impressed with them in that regular season finale to go out there to Kentucky and cover that number and pretty much control that game the entire way.
Well, okay, two things here on that. They absolutely destroyed Kentucky in the first half, right?
Yeah.
And for what it's worth, they played twice this year. Now, this has been something that David Behrman has been on, and I've been talking about it on my show because of him, who's another better who comes out of Easton all the time. And he noticed going back to last year, like Florida was a cash cow in the second half. It doesn't matter. They open up close games and they completely separate themselves from their opponent, or they actually typically in a double digit, you know, margin of victory at halftime, they expand that and they blow the team out. The team that they've struggled with twice in the second half is now Kentucky, both games. So okay. I don't know. That is really weird maybe and random and might mean nothing. But that first half, I look at that much more than anything else and give Kentucky some credit. But Florida, now the SEC is not exactly the same in terms of the top where it's been in previous years. But Florida has been absolutely spanking everybody. And to do what they did to Alabama and to Arkansas in recent games, they're blowing me away with how good they are.
Yep. And sometimes it's just matchups, man. Sometimes other teams have personnel that bother the other. We just talked about UNLV, Utah State's the same thing. Like,
sure.
Maybe there's just some matchups that really work in their favor. All right, from one to another. Now, this is an odds-on favorite at FanDuel, but we will, you know, you could chop around. I think this team is mispriced. UConn, back to its old ways. One of the worst cover teams in conference play in the country. The market has been too high on them all season long in a bad Big East. At FanDuel right now, they're minus 115 to win the Big East. Now, part of that is I just don't know if there's that many good teams in the Big East. So the likelihood it's going to fall down to the three teams at the top, UConn, St. John's, Villanova, that are going to be the trio of teams that have the most likely odds to win it. Market reflects that minus 115, plus 190, and 7-1 respectively for UConn, St. John's, and Villanova. So what do we do here? Because I think the strategy is we're going to short UConn, right? But it's either St. John's or Villanova. Take your pick.
Yeah, Chris, we talked to Chris Massaro today. I'm dropping names now on the podcast for some reason. I have no
Chris
idea
Massaro,
why.
I saw him on the way out. Dapped him up.
Yep. Professional sports bettor, again, friend of the show, the network, the whole thing. He bet Seton Hall 15-1. And maybe a team like that comes through in the Big East.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Good
I just
defensively.
Know. I have no idea why UConn is priced where they're at. Why are they odds on? In fact, I think you could argue that St. John's should be the short shot, but Is that books telling us that they don't want bets on UConn because they think they're going to win? Are they saying that the rest of the league is absolute trash, like you kind of hinted at there? Mm-hmm. I don't typically bet numbers around here, but I have this year a couple of times. St. John's plus 210. It's not a phenomenal number at all, but it's available. And I think there's a pretty good chance that, I know what happened the last time they played UConn, but that was a revenge game for the Huskies. And Pitino was an awesome tournament coach, as is Hurley. I get it. But I don't get it. That's yep. That's the thing. That's my conclusion to the Big East tournament is UConn is completely overpriced here.
Yep. I mean, I agree with you. The market results are just that, right? I mean, they are overpriced. They have been overpriced all year long. The projection systems, KenPom, Bartorvik, all of these sites, they've all been very high on UConn, and that has been incorrect all season in terms of meeting those market expectations. So I'm with you. I mean, I would try to find places. The Villanova was the one that I kind of came back to. The problem is they're a combined 0-4 against St. John's and UConn in the regular season. So that's kind of tough. They have not been able to get over those opponents. You know, they lost in overtime to UConn, but they got smoked by St. John's the one time they played them, and then they lost to them at home by a comfortable margin. They're a good perimeter defense, but they're pretty soft inside. So I think you're right in that playing St. John's here is the way to go. It's not as sexy, but I think a plus 190, just going against UConn, like they shouldn't be. If you want to make them the favorite, that's fine. But I don't think they should be the odds-on favorite considering the way that they've played. And by the way, I mean, you don't know if they're not even going to lose before they get to the final because right. The way that they have been playing, obviously, we just watched them last time out lose to Marquette. They've lost to Creighton. So this is not an infallible team, especially down the stretch where you know they start 12-0 in conference play. They end 17-3. They've been very average down the stretch.
Totally agree. They can be had, and I'm not going to be surprised at all if they get bounced early here. You know, I mentioned that, like, plus 210. Typically, we're going to be looking for numbers bigger than that. But this year, I know that these tournaments are going to be over with by the time a lot of people listen to these podcasts. I have Merrimack in pocket at 3-1. They're playing for the title on Tuesday night. And when I talk to more people about the number in the – I have McNeese in their conference tournament at plus 120 because they have a buy into the semifinals and they have it on their home court. So if they win that game, which they're going to be double digit favorites in, they're going to be favored over Stephen F. Austin if Stephen F. Austin gets there. And so plus 120 would have been the wrong number for the money line in the title game. So then he can maybe come back if F. Austin gets there and try to win both sides, whatever, and play with the points. But now they're like minus 150. So I would have said the same thing with Navy in the Patriot League. I missed minus 120. It was out there. I would have loved to have minus 120 in pocket. They didn't win, but that was clearly the wrong price and one that I would have bet. And now they kind of got screwed as well at the very end of that game, but that's neither here nor there.
All right, let's take a break real quick. On the other side, I want to clean up some of this conference tournament stuff. We want to stay on track and make sure that we keep our eye on the clock so we can make sure we can recap everything properly. On the other side, got a couple of thoughts on some smaller conference tournaments as well. Before we get to a little bit more, we are inching closer to baseball. World Baseball Classic has been great. The first day of free agency, there is a team that has been very good, and I think this means I want to bet them, but we will tell you what that is a little bit later. Okay, a couple of smaller conference tournaments I want to hit really quickly. The Big West, that's also out here in Las Vegas. In the Circa College Hoops Challenge over the weekend, I decided to jump in on UC San Diego. For those who haven't been keeping track of what the Tritons have been doing, ending the season on a relatively strong note, they lost to Cal State Fullerton on the road during the week last week, but that snapped a 5-game winning streak. They've started to get a little bit better. You zoom out a little bit more, 7 out of 9 games that they have won, including a win at UCSB over the weekend by a point. They were about a 1.5-point underdog. But they've been playing really well, Mitch. And while they have swept, or they were swept by CSUN, which is on their side of the bracket, they've beat UC Irvine. I think they match up well with Cal Poly. I think the bracket sets up well for them, and they're a team that is playing some pretty good basketball at the right time, which I think is what you want to look for in some of these. They are 7-1 to win the Big West, and I'm going to put a little bit on UC San Diego to win this tournament.
Okay. Let me point this out for the audience who may be unaware of this, but this is a site that we reference a lot during the college basketball season. Greg Peterson puts his numbers out and they're valuable, and he does a great job here on the network. Bartorvik is another one. Mm-hmm. And on his website, he does something called tourney sims. So you can go there, and if you don't know, like if you don't like do your own numbers, if you don't model, if you don't do projections and you want to like look at somebody's numbers overall, I think it's a pretty good start or a baseline that can give you kind of an idea of where these teams might be priced at. And then you can also go to an odds converter page and then like just pump in like 10.5% and then it'll convert that into an American money line for you. He gives San Diego a 10.6% chance in the Big West. He has Irvine at 34.9 and Hawaii at 29.9 overall.
Okay.
So 10 point, again, it's not the be all end all. You don't have to go strictly by his numbers. Now, I will point out that he has helped me make money in the past, in a couple of tournaments. I think one was Georgia Tech to win the ACC a few years ago, like 25-1. But in that conference, he has them with a third best chance to win, the team that you bet on.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, they've been playing really well. As I mentioned, they lose to Hawaii on the road at the beginning of February. They ripped off those five straight wins. Like, it's been a pretty good run for them. So I'm going to kind of trust that they're getting their stuff together. They're actually a really good defensive team. Like, they are the second best team in terms of defensive efficiency in the Big West. The question has just been their offense, but the offense has actually really come along here, and they've been great inside. They're shooting over just over like 54% on two-point attempts. And if you look at the stretch that they have been on, averaging over 1.1 points per possession in five out of the last six games. So I want to kind of build on the fact that this team has been improving and the best defense or second best defense in the conference and think that they can get this done here out in Las Vegas. Did you have anything else? Because I did want to ask you, we should hit this really quickly. It's one of the big narratives of this time of year right now. I think a lot of people were shocked to see Akron as a minus 115 favorite to win the MAC tournament. But every metric, every statistic, betting market obviously believes that they are the better team in terms of them and Miami, Ohio. And it seems like it's a two-horse race in the MAC. It's a small tournament, but Toledo is the third shot on the board at 15-1. Does Miami, Ohio pull this off? Is this the market stupid? Are they better than Akron?
No, because here's why. Assuming that that's going to be the title game, Akron's absolutely going to be favored.
Yeah.
And again, that money line is going to be higher than minus 115. So if you want to lock that in right now, again, maybe you get a better price on an Akron rollover parlay. But that's basically what every projection site, people, odds maker that we've talked to on Follow the Money, what they have told us is that Akron is going to be probably a three-point favorite in that game.
Yeah.
So again, you could maybe bet one, and I think Akron's going to win it anyway. And I think 115 is worth betting. And if it gets, by the way, if it's not Miami in there, then Akron's going to be favored by how many points in the title game?
Oh, I know. Obviously, it depends on who it is, but it's going to be, they're going to be a good favorite.
Sure. But even if you bet 115 right now, and if chalk holds, Akron, in theory, again, is going to be a higher number than that. You can come back and take Miami with the points and go for a middle spot.
Yeah. That's a good point, actually. Do you think they're in?
They have to be.
Okay.
I get the numbers.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, this is going to be, and I know that you're big into like just trusting the numbers overall. I think a team that goes undefeated, and this is not one of the worst conferences in college basketball. We're talking, this is not the SWAC.
Right.
If a team goes undefeated in a conference like the MAC, they have to get rewarded somehow. Those wins have to count for something.
I would agree. I think I will pat myself on the back in the sense of I really do believe in numbers, but there has to be a middle ground at some point.
Yeah,
and you can't put together 31 perfect data points, and then maybe lose to UMass on the first game in a single elimination tournament in one of the more volatile games in terms of basketball, and just be like, nope, sorry guys, like
no good. Like, good luck next year.
You got to have some sort of balance. So I would agree. I know we said we were going to hit smaller conferences, but we did not touch on this conference, and it is a big one. It is a good one. Any feel on the Big 12? Arizona is nearly an odds-on favorite. They are not. They are even money, plus 100. Some bettors get annoyed by that. Houston at 2-1. Iowa State at 7-1. Kansas 8-1. Then you get to Texas Tech, Sands, JT Toppin at 17. Cincinnati 45. TCU 60. Oh my God, how the mighty have fallen. BYU 100-1 to win the Big 12 tournament. If I told you that, like what, a month and a half ago? I told you, dude, you're going to get this team at 100-1 to win the Big 12 tournament, you would have thought I was insane.
Did you watch any of that Texas Tech game on Saturday night?
Not much, no.
The thing is, so they're playing at home.
Yeah.
But man, and I feel like
I was
I've
out
said
playing
this
craps,
now.
By the way. That's why I was not. And
oh,
I,
beautiful.
And I did very well. So
respect, man. Where at?
Durango.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's a nice property. I've said this about Kansas. I've said it about Arkansas. It has to be said about BYU. Is there anything too that whenever they take the court, they're going to have the best player on the court, regardless of competition 95% of the time.
Right. Yes, I would agree. I mean, you can make the argument if they, I don't even have to pull it, if this would be possible. Like if they run into Kansas, like maybe there's an argument there, but they've been all over the place too. So why would you even trust that that's the case?
Right.
Yep.
I don't know. That's, it's a huge number. I don't trust Iowa State.
No.
I mean, if the tournament was held in January, it would have been like, okay, I can see Iowa State winning the whole thing this year. But there's got to be something about current form as well. Kansas, I have no idea. I'm kind of done even like trying to handicap them.
Yep.
But how about, it feels like as a college basketball society, Houston has been kind of punted on because of what the top four teams have been able to do.
Sure.
Like, are we going to be stunned with the talent that they have on that team? I love Flemings. He's great. And with Kelvin Sampson as the head coach, are we going to be stunned if they make the Big 12 title game and they eventually cut the Nets down? How could you be?
No, not at all. I think what happened was they lose those three straight games and then they don't get to add a marquee win down the stretch because they finished with Colorado, Baylor, and Oklahoma State.
Right.
So out of sight, out of mind, nobody really cared too much. But I'm with you. I mean, this team has been absolutely incredible. Every which way you cut it. Number one in the conference in offensive efficiency, number two in defense. They're great at the point of attack. I am not going to be shocked at all if they get this done. By the way, they are on the bottom half of the bracket. Obviously, they're the two seed with Kansas. That would be the path that BYU would have to take. BYU gets Kansas State to start the tournament. If they win, they get West Virginia. If they beat that, then they would take on Houston in the quarterfinals on, I don't know, whenever that is, Thursday, something like that. So that would be the path that BYU would have to take. It would go through Houston.
How about TCU with some of their quad one wins?
Yep.
I'm looking at the schedule right now. They lost to Michigan by 4. They beat Florida. They beat Wisconsin by 11. They lost to Kansas in overtime. I'm trying to find some other like quad one wins that they might have on the schedule. They beat Iowa State. Like, that's a team that, I mean, they beat Texas Tech by 8 recently. Those are 5 like nasty wins that they have on the schedule.
I'm glad you brought them up because that, if there's like a, I think if there's a maybe a long shot-ish you might want to look at, TCU might be it. They have very quietly have snuck into the top 50 in both Bartorvik and KenPom. KenPom's got them 44. Bartorvik's got them at 48. Their offense is a mystery. They're not really a great offensive team. But they are, over the last 10 games, 12th in the country in offensive rebounding rate. They generate second chance opportunities like a mother. Like, this is dump and chase basketball. It is throw up a clanker and then go get it and get a putback, get a free throw attempt. Because over that same span, they're top 40 in free throw rate on offense. And their defense is a top 30 group. They force turnovers like crazy. They don't fit. And the best part is, how about this? This generally isn't the case. They are 30th over the last 10 games in turnover rate on defense. They are 9th in free throw rate. So they are getting aggressive. They're jumping passing lanes. They're forcing turnovers. And they're doing it without fouling, which is an incredible dynamic to have at play. And given the way, you know, this looks for them, I'm with you. They're around 60-1. I think it's worth pointing out because their path, I mean, the winner of Oklahoma State and Colorado, then if you win, you get Kansas, who, again, we just talked about it. You tell me if you can figure out what Kansas is at this point right now. I have no idea what they're doing. That is a perfectly winnable game for TCU. And then all of a sudden, you're on there in the semifinals on Friday against whoever comes out of that path that we talked about for BYU/Houston.
Hmm. And they're 60?
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. I think I might have to jump in on some of that.
Yep. I would agree. I think that's that is worth adding. Absolutely.
I'm going to shop around right now, too, see if maybe there's a rogue number out there on them.
Sure. And add that. I gotta add that to the doc so we don't forget to talk about it at the end. Because this is what we talk. See, this is what we do here, folks. All right. Any other conference tournament thoughts before we turn the page here?
That's all I have, pretty much, as of right now.
All right, cool. Yeah, we hit the big ones. Hit some Big West, everything like that. Don't have much. I don't know about you. A-10, St. Louis, VCU, 2 big dogs at the top, +130, +180. Dayton's at +750.
Paulie likes Dayton.
Okay, +750 on Dayton. And then the American, worth pointing out, South Florida -120, Tulsa +270, Wichita State +370. And then you get to UAB at 22-1. So it seems like the market very much believes that that is 3 teams and that's about it.
It's played in Birmingham, by the way.
What's that now?
That's played in Birmingham.
Yeah.
But it's not UAB's home court.
Yeah.
So it's a little weird. And
yeah,
they were
like
awesome
semi-home
on the road and they were bad at home this year. It's really quite the conundrum for that team.
All right. Bash loves it. Let's take a break.
you can hear him, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I'm seeing TCU 90-1.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah, that's worth it.
You think so?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
All right, let's take a break so we can put those in. On the other side, free agent, frenzy, tampering, whatever it is. There's a couple of teams that made some really big splashes in the NFL, and I think it might be worth looking at them to have a pretty big year. First day of legal tampering in the National Football League. I don't know why they call it that. It is redundant. You cannot legally tamper. Tampering is illegal. So we had the open window for negotiating and whatnot, and a lot of teams made a lot of really nice moves. I will be selfish for a moment because I do think a lot of people talked about this team as well. And in terms of totality of moves, at least in terms of the number that they made, they were at the top of the list, I believe. Come on down, the Las Vegas Raiders, who did a lot this day. Now, a lot of it was on defense because they're rebuilding. They're starting a 3-4 unit, which is going to take a lot of rebuilding out there. Does he love it or what? What's going on here?
He's very opinionated on the Raiders, evidently.
He is. It's all right. Hey, it happens. We do this at home. 2020 was quite the year for this stuff. You did not have a child at that point, but that was always a lot of fun, having to record and having kids around. Anyway, Raiders, what did you think of what they did? It was a really big day for them. Again, they're rebuilding this defense, and they're starting from scratch. So they're doing it in a really big way. N'Kobe Dean, Quay Walker, both get 3-year deals, part of a really big day for Las Vegas.
I mean, so I think that team obviously came in with huge expectations to kind of kill it because they had the most money to spend with a salary cap.
Yep.
I got to tell you, for the first time in a long time, I think that they deserve very high marks for what they've accomplished here. And great job by the GM Spytek. I think it's also a really good move that Pete Carroll was one and done.
Yes.
And to get that junk out of here as well. If they could remove some of the other riffraff around it, I think it would only get better. Not to name names there, but
shadow owner Jim Gray,
he might be one of them for sure. how do you not, again, on paper here? We'll see how this plays out. On paper, how do you not like give them an A grade for what they've done from a betting standpoint? Can't get nuts. I can't go playoff team.
No,
certainly not going to go division because it's absolutely loaded. Hey, look, we bet the NFL basically year round. I have not put this in pocket yet, but 5.5 is the win total.
Yep.
That's going to be a team I'm going to have circled once the schedule is announced because I want to wait to see what it's going to look like because you have to play in like rest disadvantages, advantages overall, 3 games in a row on the road, that kind of thing. But that'll be, if it's still 5.5 after the schedule and it works out well, I'm absolutely going to bet them over.
Would agree with all points. Juice is around -115 with the over 5.5 right now, depending on where you look around and shop around. We should note, so this is the entire list for the Raiders today. Tyler Linderbaum, 3 years, 81 mil. Linebacker Quay Walker, 3 years, 40.5. N'Kobe Dean, 3 years, 36. Jalen Naylor, wide receiver, 3 years, 35. Former Colt, defensive end Quiddy Pay, 3 years, 48. Eric Stokes, 3 years, 30, a corner. Malcolm Kuntz, defensive end, 1 year, 11 million. And then they trade for Taron Johnson at corner as well. Obviously, the theme here is you can see a lot of defenders helping out with the assumed number one overall pick in Fernando Mendoza and getting Tyler Linderbaum. All the reports are that Jackson Powers Johnson, who was playing center last year, is going to bump over to guard. We'll see if they don't trade him. And I will say this to your point about like giving them an A and whatnot. This is what happens when you let your GM do what he was brought in to do.
Correct.
John Spytek was brought in and then handcuffed immediately and not allowed to run this franchise. And I said this during the year, and you hear things around it too. It was finally time to just let him do what he was going to do. And I keep saying it when we were in New Orleans, Mitch, 2 years ago now, or a year, whenever it was, and they just hired him. You don't know how many people stopped by and just said, dude, Spytek's awesome. Like they saw the Raiders logo. They saw the Las Vegas stuff and they were just like, nope, Spytek's great. Let's talk about it. Jerry McCoy came and sat down with us out of nowhere. It was just like, oh yeah, let's talk about it. It was great. So I think this is probably the start of something pretty good for Las Vegas if they allow it to happen. And I would agree with you. Here's my question, my follow-up though. What if I told you that Kirk Cousins was the starting quarterback for the Raiders at the start of the year? Would that change your mind at 5.5?
Maybe.
Because that's the thought. Now, it's not confirmed. I still think that Fernando Mendoza is going to start the year, but the presence of a veteran quarterback is desired. Now, whether that means he's going to start the season and they're going to let Fernando Mendoza sit, or if they bring in a veteran and allow them to have a true competition and are open to Fernando Mendoza playing right away, remains to be seen.
Okay, I will say this about Kirk. Last year, he helped the Falcons win games late.
Yep.
And he had the offense, like, he can't move, obviously. He's completely a total statue back there. Do they have the weapons where he could actually look pretty decent? I mean, Bowers is elite at tight end. I think with the signing of Linderbaum at center, it could only go uphill for Ashton Jeanty. As I said on our show today, if I had to watch the Raiders run the ball up the middle to Ashton Jeanty and he was hit by three different defenders 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage one more time last year, I was going to break my TV. So that's a good start. And we don't know how good Ashton Jeanty could be because he was completely behind one of the worst, if not the worst, offensive lines in the entire game. So he's only going to get better. I don't know if they have the overall wide receivers, but that the offensive line is going to be, they have to do more to really blow me away and to knock that out of the park. So I'll say possibly, but I like where the team is going. It's the first time in many, many years I've said that.
Yeah. I would completely agree. They're finally letting a forward-thinking GM do what he's supposed to do, and this is the difference. You know, like, sorry, shadow owner Jim Gray, just take a seat, right? Let us do our thing. You know, you can sit in the back and bitch and moan about certain things, but we are going to take care of what we need to take care of. So we'll see what the quarterback situation is. They will add a quarterback at some point. The question just becomes who. I would say Kirk Cousins is a small favorite to land it, but we'll see if that's going to actually be the case. The other team, before I want to get another team, if there's another team that you thought of, I'm being a little selfish here, but today was pretty exciting. Am I wrong to think, and this all depends on what you think about the quarterback, but I will take a plus price on over 7.5 wins for the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, man, what a day.
I think that they knocked it out of the park today.
I think they absolutely crushed it. That's another team that you'd have to give an A.
The additions, for those who don't know, Trubisky comes in, backup quarterback. Wandale Robinson at wide receiver. John Franklin Myers at defensive line. Alante Taylor at corner. Those last two, by the way, I mean, awesome. The defense is going to be very good. Cordell Flott comes in at corner as well. They just rebuilt the entire secondary. They also just brought in a bunch of dudes who just used to play for Saleh and Dable, which is awesome because it's just like, yeah, dude, like we're implementing our systems. Let's get some guys who are going to be familiar with this. Daniel Bellinger at tight end. This was a day that I was like, wow. Tennessee in what could be a bad division. I mean, we don't know what the Colts are going to be. Rumors are that Daniel Jones wants $50 million. I would let him walk if that's what the asking price is.
Outrageous.
Or if somebody, man, he's going to remember for our audience, he's got the transition tag. So Colts have first right of refusal. But if somebody offers him $50 million, see you later, dude. We appreciate the help. Yeah, exactly. 100%. So who knows what the Colts are? You know, the Jags could be good, could not. I mean, they could just be Jacksonville again. I think they're going to be pretty good. They're a favorite.
And then I will point this out, Jacksonville, because they really have a first place schedule.
Yes, they do.
I looked at the batting that team to win the Super Bowl, and when I saw their opponents and where they're, it's like, oh, hold on a second here. I quickly dialed that one back. It's going to be, I love what he did in year one, Liam Cohen, but that schedule goes, I mean, through the roof next year in terms of competitiveness.
And then the Texans, you know, I'll liken it to, you ever watch a nature video of like a lion picking up its cub and it just like grabs the scruff of its neck with its teeth and like, come on, let's go. That's the Houston Texans defense with this awful offense. That's going to be the exact same thing next year. I don't think that C.J. Stroud is turning things around.
No,
the whole
point
here being is this is a winnable division, and I would not be shocked if Tennessee, with an easier schedule and some development again from Cam Ward, who I thought played very well at times in a very terrible situation, I wouldn't be surprised if we get, I don't know if it's a Patriots-like leap. Obviously, they made the Super Bowl, but I do expect a pretty strong leap here from Tennessee.
Yeah, two of the guys that you talked about, based on like having links up today when we were on the air and you were on the air as well. But on day one, when the breaking news comes out, like two of the guys they signed were ranked almost universally in the top 10 for free agents. So to get that for Tennessee and like some of the other guys as well, like it's a lot of money for Wandale Robinson. I saw what, 4 years for $78 million. It's a lot of money.
Annual of 19.
But also to your point, like he was with Dable in New York, knows the system quite well. That can be a big thing for Cam Ward as he has to make that leap here in year two for sure.
Yep. Any other teams? Because I do have one more that I would like your thoughts on.
Well, I hated to see Kenneth Walker go to the Chiefs.
Yeah. Why?
As somebody, I just don't want to bet the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I want to look to bet on other teams in the AFC, I guess, so then I could probably fade the Chiefs, right? But that's a really good pickup for the Chiefs. I don't have much else. I mean, no betting takeaways anyway. You?
I've got one more for you. This might be a hot take, but I kind of think that Tua should start, and they actually might be pretty good in Atlanta.
That's a hot take.
So Tua Tagovailoa plans to sign a 1-year deal with the Falcons. So you're going to have two lefties in the room with Michael Penix. And trust me, I know how crazy this sounds. Okay. But we thought this about Sam Darnold at one point. We thought this about, this isn't the best example because he did fall off. We thought this about Geno Smith at one point. So we've seen these resurgences from these quarterbacks, and Tua is going to be one of those that is on the list of potential reclamation projects if he finds the right system and the right coach. And I will say, this last year was very bad for Tua Tagovailoa, and I was very low on the Dolphins. We've also seen some pretty high highs from Tua Tagovailoa in an offense that is built to just cruise. So could he be, not even Sam Darnold, could he be Daniel Jones from last year? Could he just come in and just run the car? Just leave, just get off the brake, let it cruise here. We don't have to do anything, and we're playing indoors. We're playing in the NFC South. You don't have to worry about going into these frigid temperatures when we're talking about late divisional games anymore. Got to play in some humidity, whatever it is, but there's not going to be any cold temperatures if that's a real thing here. It's a really good offensive system, and it's a division that maybe is winnable. The Panthers, by the way, very good pickup with Jalen Phillips. That was awesome for them. But I don't know, man. I don't think Penix is that good. I think there's a reality in which he comes in, competes, and Stefanski's like, bro, this guy can at least run my offense. Let's do this.
Well, the difference between Tua and those other guys you rattled off is that they never had the concussion problems that he has had.
That's fair.
And I also, I don't, does he have an arm left? Can he throw the ball down the field?
Does he need to? Would be my rebuttal.
Well, and then also, you know how the common narrative from NFL media, when the Texans refused to pull CJ Stroud from that disastrous start in a game that they could have won against the Patriots in the playoffs, they said, no, you have to know what the future holds for this guy. Like, he's your guy. You got to stick with him. I totally disagreed. Like, that was a winnable game and he was going to win the game. You right. got to go to Davis Mills. The Falcons did take Michael Penix 8th overall, and you have a ton of weapons on this team. I have to see if he can play.
Isn't it not like, what if it's just Anthony Richardson? But it's just like, yeah, we picked him 4th, but like, you know what? I mean, and Stefanski's not in the same situation as Steichen is, because Steichen started coaching for his job, I think, a little bit at some point. And that's why they gave up on Richardson. But I mean, this does seem eerily familiar. Again, you have like young quarterback who has struggled, albeit a small sample size, has not looked particularly great, has his own injury issues as well popping up. And he's a little bit older. If you're Stefanski and if you're really watching this and in camp and in the offseason, you're like, you know, like our offense is running a lot better with Tua if he's out there.
Well, okay. If he beats him out, then yeah.
Yeah.
I would say at minimum, there has to be a competition.
So but, Tua for MVP, you agree.
But Penix has to have a chance to win the job, in my opinion.
Yes.
Also, to go back to your team, though, I think the Colts completely whiffed here. A couple sure. things. There's no way they should have taken him 4th overall, but they did. You can't punt on the guy like they have.
No, you can't. Because now
I hate what they've done.
I would completely agree. And I got called stupid, but this is exactly what I was talking about, where he's injured and now you're negotiating with a dude coming off of torn Achilles who's asking for $50 million a year. And by the way, he was fading before he got hurt. Not playing well.
There's no way a team can give Daniel Jones $50 million a year. That cannot 40. Happen.
They wanted to give him the Darnold deal, like 3 and 100. And he was like, nah, I don't know about that. So we'll see. All right. Let's take a break. We'll clean up here on the other side. A few thoughts on baseball. If you've added anything, I know the World Baseball Classic's going on, and we have a recap of our best bets as well. Let's wrap a little bit of baseball as we are getting closer and closer to the season. World Baseball Classic going on right now. Have you watched any of the World Baseball Classic?
A little bit. I wish I had time to watch more of it because it is awesome. And I love how the fans love this event. I think it's great.
Yeah. The highlights are fun. Watch a little bit. I'm with you. Otani's incredible, as usual. And it is kind of funny to see Fernando Tatis in the Dominican Republic. They were just playing Israel. Was that what I was watching? Where's Fernando Mendoza on? Either way, I just watched Fernando Mendoza. This dude hit through like an 82-mile-an-hour fastball.
No, are you thinking about the Raiders quarterback to be?
What?
You said Fernando Mendoza.
Did I say Mendoza? I meant Tatis. Yeah. I'm an idiot.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying. Okay, Either way, I like to watch the discrepancy in talent is what I'm trying to say. I like to watch these dudes who would not really have a cup of coffee at all in the majors try to go up against some of these guys.
Yes,
and
right.
This dude just threw like, it looked like an 82-mile-an-hour fastball, and Tatis just pasted it. It was absolutely incredible to watch. So, stupid point, and I will move on from it to say baseball is here. We are getting ready. I've added a couple of futures. We talked about Joe Adell. Cy Young is, I think, a very fun market to look at and look at a little bit deeper. And you have one. You've added it about 60 to 1.
Yeah. Okay. So looking at my account right now, this was back on November 15th. I have not said anything about this because I wanted all books to open it up first. And Circa finally did yesterday or today, one or the other, right? And Now we're coming up in the middle of March. They did not have a better number than 60-1. 40-1 is out there right now, but I knew I was going to bet this guy based on how he closed the season last year. It's my one bet, I think, for any award so far, and it's Trevor Rogers, Baltimore Orioles starting pitcher to win the Cy Young. I bet 60, no longer there. If you want to have some fun and take 40, that's fine. I'm looking at numbers last year, and you're gonna love how I cherry-picked the numbers, right, from him? But I'll go from his third start on last year, which was on June 23rd, to his penultimate start, which was on September 19th against the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
So that was 15 starts overall. He was 9-2 with 98 innings pitched. He had a WAR of 3.6, which was the second best in all of Major League Baseball behind Christopher Sanchez. In that time, he had an ERA of 1.19.
I had first five. It didn't matter. He was always going to put him in position.
And he's awesome so far in spring training.
Yep.
Like, his changeup's been unhittable. The Ks per nine, they're not going to blow you away. It was 8.36 in that time. Did not allow a lot of home runs. Did not allow a lot of walks. Got a little bit of he was fortunate with the BABIP. The FIP in the XERA a little bit higher, but I can live with a 2.41 FIP.
Yep.
Like, he can win a Cy Young that way. Those numbers, like, blow away Carrick Skubal and Garrett Crochet. Some of those numbers I just talked about. They were also very good, but Trevor Rogers was like elite that run that he was on. Now, can he stay healthy and can he put together that kind of a stretch again this year? It's a gamble at 60-1 or 40-1 if you'd like it. But when he was closing the season, it wasn't even like closing. It was like we're in August and then early September. I'm like, it's every game with this guy.
Yep.
And people were making a push that he actually should have been in the race last year. He didn't have enough innings. But I knew if the number was right, I was going to be betting him this year. And back on November 15th, I'm like, I saw 60-1. I didn't know where it was going to be at other books. I'm like, that's good enough to put in the account then. And now I'm a huge Trevor Rogers fan suddenly this year. And with that offense, wins don't really mean much, but this week, if perfect storm, he's like 20-3 this year with a 2.5 ERA.
Yeah, for some of the old heads, it matters,
Yeah.
So I would agree. And I'm going to tell you on that one too, because like I said, Rogers, that stretch you're talking about, it was a must add first five almost every time.
Crazy.
He was always putting his team in position to win. The guy that I'm somewhat curious about, but I think I want some longer odds on. I brought this up the storm when we talked about the Cincinnati Reds, and we'll get to our best bets up here coming in a second. Hunter Green obviously is going through this stiff elbow thing. We'll see exactly what it means for his future. But I brought it up Stormy because we were talking about Cy Young candidates, and I said, are we talking about the wrong Reds pitcher for NL Cy Young? Andrew Abbott was really good last year. Andy Abbott was really good last year.
I love watching that guy pitch.
Yeah,
He has a nasty delivery, and there's something about it. It's got to be difficult for batters to pick up on it.
Yep. And so last year, look, he's not going to have the counting stats. He's not a big strikeout guy, but 166 and a third. He had a 287 ERA. The expected's like 355, so we'll see if that actually comes to fruition. His spring training's not going particularly well, but I don't know about you. I don't really read too much of the spring training. Guys are working on stuff, who knows? I mean, his strikeout numbers are really up here in spring training, so maybe he's just working on some put-away stuff. But either way, Abbott was awesome. He was fantastic last year. And if he comes out and he's the same dude where he's just holding lineups down and he's coming in and sporting like a sub-3 ERA and pitching a good amount of innings, I don't know. Like, at the very least, the pricing between him and Hunter Green, I don't know if there should be that discrepancy. I think he's on the same level in terms of production that Hunter Green is. Green just has the sexier stats.
No, you're spot on. I can't bet on Green. I bet on him last year for most cases. I can't do it because at some point he's going to miss 3 weeks and you're going to be like, well, that sucks. Now I can't win. By the way, if the Reds rotation were to stay healthy for an entire year, I think they could challenge the Dodgers in the National League.
Yep, I would agree. All right, we're up against it. We got a minute left, so let's recap really quickly. Best bets that we've listed out here for today for futures. I've got Colorado State to win the Mountain West. I'm going to tail Mitch on that Florida-Duke parlay to win their respective tournaments. UC San Diego to win the Big West tournament, and TCU 60-1 to win the Big 12, and adding Trevor Rogers at that price to win Cy Young too.
Yeah, crank up TCU to 90-1, available in multiple spots.
90, yes.
Yep. So Rogers worth it to me as well at 40-1. I'm on UNLV 50. I want to add Colorado State 25. And I did bet a little. It's a small bet, but I have St. John's plus 210.
Okay, I like it. So we will make sure that we recap these at the end of every show as well. We appreciate the feedback too. So if you're still listening here, anything you got, send it our way, and we will make sure that we try to incorporate everything on all these episodes as we're putting these together every single week. And a reminder too, we have a bunch of stuff going on. We'll have our usual Sharp Week coming up as well for the NCAA tournament, and I'm very much looking forward to it. I think Mitch will be jealous about this. Stormy and I will be live from Bar Canada Thursday, Friday of the NCAA tournament. So if you're in Vegas, swing by and say what's up. We will be out there for the games, and I might as well just stay or go do something else. You know what I mean? The NCAA tournament's absolutely fantastic. So for Mitch, for Wyatt, who couldn't make it today, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week on Pod of the Futures.